I want to introduce this sugya by telling you a story that actually happened, and we'll develop the sugya in order to get a psak, to arrive at some verdict, some conclusion, halachically, what would have been the story at the end of the day. The yeshiva was absolutely opposed to internet, especially for talmidim in the yeshiva, and the mashgiach in the yeshiva found one of the talmidim who had a cell phone, and this cell phone had internet access on it. And in order to emphasize the severity of this violation, the mashgiach actually took this phone and smashed it to smithereens. He realized that this was in his hashkafa, and this has been clear to the Talmidim, this was a very dangerous, spiritually in terms of the progress of the students in the yeshiva. This was a dangerous violation, could lead to who knows what, and therefore he broke it in it publicly in front of the students. And the issue came up whether or not he did the right thing. In other words, a pi halacha, was he allowed to do such a thing? And if not, does he have to pay as a mazik? Now, if you ask the following question halachically, what was, so to speak, the justification for his action, or at least the motivation for the action, whether or not it was justified, but the motivation for the action in halachic terms is called lafrushe mi'isura. In other words, in the view, in the outlook of the mashkiach, he was preventing a violation of a more serious isur. He felt that having access to internet on one's phone could lead to who knows what. So the topic for our discussion today, and we want to really study a major machlokas between the Rambam and the Rush, is the following. Let's say you become aware of Reuven, who's involved in an avera. He's violating some sort of isur. Let's assume, for argument's sake, it's an isur doraisa, and we'll have different cases. And let's assume that his violation was bishogeg. He didn't deliberately violate an isur. And the question is whether or not you're obligated to do whatever you can, do your maximum, in order to be mafrish a person from an isur. And we're talking now again about an isur d'oraisa that is being violated b'shogeg. And the flip side is, if the answer is that yes, you're obligated to do so, and to prevent this person from violating, what happens if you didn't do so, if you didn't live up to your responsibility? You are violating an isur by not fulfilling your mitzvah, if you don't separate them. Now, in a certain case, we don't know whether he's called a shogeg or he's an ones. Let's say, for example, the person who's violating the isur is what's called an omer mutter. He's unaware of the law. He's never been taught that what he's involved in is a violation. In his mind, it's perfectly okay. Is he considered shogeg? Is he considered karav lemezid? Is he considered karav leones? And then we can get to the next question, which is what's the status of a katan? Let's say a katan knows that he's not allowed to eat this non-kosher food, but he does so deliberately anyway. Is his deliberate action considered al pidin shogeg, and therefore you would be obligated to separate him, do whatever you can to make sure that he doesn't violate this isur? And then the question becomes, how far can you go in order to be mafrish, in order to separate someone from an isur? Are you allowed to go as far as hitting him? Normally hitting a person is a violation of a doraisa. But here, in this case, it might even be a mitzvah to hit him, to physically assault him in order to prevent him from violating a serious isur. We're not talking about the case of a rodev, where you hit someone and even perhaps jeopardize his life because he's jeopardizing someone else's life. And this also touches on the famous question in the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah about hitting students within the context of education, of chinuch, to hit a student. Hakoa b'talmidim. Then we drop down to the level of being mafresh someone from an isur which is not in the Torah. However, it's definitely an isur d'oraisa, it's just not explicit in the Torah. And then we could talk about a case where a person is involved in Chil Hashem, and you can prevent that from happening. And in that case, perhaps one could argue not only trying to prevent him from violating an isur, you're also protecting Kaviyochel, the name of Hashem. And then, what about a case of a married woman who has an adulterous affair, and this Chazor B'tshuva, her husband is totally unaware of the fact that she had such a relationship, and would the Boel, in this case, notify the husband to separate him from his wife? Because Echel Lebal, Echel Lebol, that tumah, that adulterous relationship engenders an Iser in which she's not allowed to have relations with her own husband anymore. So what about notifying the husband? Is that also a classical case of Lafrushe mi Iser Bishogeg, when the husband unawares is violating with every relationship he has with his wife that Iser? And then we could speak about destroying other people's property in order to prevent the violation of the Iser. Now, if their property is causing damage to other things, then you might certainly take the law into your own hands. But to destroy an object which is engendering spiritual damage, not physical damage, that's a horse of a different color. And the Gemara that we're going to focus a lot of our attention on is the Gemara in Brachos that tells the story about Rav Ada Bar Ava, who he was aware of a woman, what's called an Isha Kusis, who was dressed in a very immodest way, shall we say, you know, priestess. And he ripped her clothing. And he did this in order to demonstrate that this kind of behavior is unacceptable. And the poskim want to know whether or not he was permitted to doing such a thing. And in addition, does he have the obligation to pay for damages in such a case? Now let's say, for example, someone has possession over books or magazines that are absolutely prohibited in halacha. Would you be allowed to confiscate them? Would you be allowed to burn them in order to save the owner of this book from violating an isur? And then you have cases of advertisements which are priestistic. And are you allowed to destroy those advertisements, those ads, those posters or billboards? You have the case that we want to discuss of a Baal Tshuva who decides that he wants to go into his parents' house and destroy the television. And then you have the case of someone who sells an automobile because the salesman of cars has no right to park cars that he wants to sell in front of a Beit Knesset, and certainly not on Shabbos, knowing full well that people are going to come and drive these, you know, test drive the cars. But in any event, we're going to start with the Gemara in Brachos and the story of Rav Ada Bar Ava. So if you'll open up to the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. This is in the famous sugya in the third parak of Brachos of Kavod Abrios. And we'll start from the top of the Amud. The Gemara tells us, Amale Rav Papa La Baye, Maishna Rishonim. Abaye was asked the question, what's the difference between the earlier generations that experienced miracles and our generation? We're not experiencing miracles anymore. That was the question of Papa Pop to Abaye. Is Rishonim Misrachesh Lu Nisa, Anan Lo Misrachesh Lu Nisa? We don't merit miracles to protect us. And we're going to skip a part of the sugya that's not relevant to us and begin with Amar Le, which is about 10 lines down, Abai's response to Rav Papa, Kamoi, the original, the greats of past generations, of previous, earlier generations, what we call in Yiddish the free of the Gedurs, Havakam Masri Nafshayu HaKadushas Hashem. For the sake of the name of Hashem, they were zealous, they were willing to give up their lives. That self-sacrifice is what Hashem finds endearing, and in response He brings miracles to protect them. Anan, but we're not on that level. Lo masrina nafshayu HaKadushas Hashem. And in order to demonstrate the earlier generations, the Gemara tells the story, Ki hod Rav Ado bar Ava. Chazielahi kusis, he saw this kusis woman, Davalavisha, she was wearing karbalasa b'shuka. Karbalasa, Rashi says, shame lavush chashuv, it was an expensive garment, but it was priestistic. Savar, he was under the impression, the mistaken impression, not knowing her identity, debas Yisraeli, that she was a Jewish girl. Come carry me now. And he ripped it while she was wearing it. Iglai Milsa, he finds out later, the kusis he. And the kusis, of course, sues him in a court of law, probably in a non-Jewish court of law. Shimu, and they evaluated the loss of this karbalasa, this very expensive garment, the arbameo zuzi, 400 zuzim. That's a velt. That's a giant sum of money. Awesome sum of money. Amar lo mashmech, amar lo matun. Amar lo matun matun, arba meo zuzi shavya. So this part of the Gemara is more of an agadita. I want you to take a look on the side of your page. There's something called Hagos Vitziyunim, and he writes that Karbalasa de Tarnagola is Ein Derech Benos Yisrael Liskasos Bo Shehu Prizus Umevi Lidvar Vera. That this Kusis was wearing a garment that Benos Yisrael, because of that tznius, would never wear such a garment. It's priestistic. It brings to it avera. Now let's turn back one amud. Take a look on the right side of your page. Daf Yutesam in Beis. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, Hamotze Kilayim Bebigdo. If a person finds that the clothing he's wearing, the garment he's wearing is made of shatnez, which is, of course, an Issa Levish. Every second he violates an Issa Dereis of shatnez. Is Rav says, Poshton Afilu Bishuk. He has to undress even in the middle of the public area. My time, and he quotes the Pasuk, Ein Chachma V'Ein Tfuna V'Ein Eitzel L'Neged Hashem. Pasuk in Mishlei. Rashi says, Ein Chachma Tshuva, Ein Chachma Chashuva Neged Hashem. There's no Chashivas to Chachma here. There's no shtickerai. The halach is straightforward. He's not allowed to wear shatnez. He's got to take it off. And the Gemara codifies a principle. Kol Makom Sheishchil Hashem Ein Cholkim Kovid L'Rav. This is a case of Chil Hashem. A person is publicly violating an Avera. Again, whether or not the public knows about it, we'll have to see. But be that as it may, is in a situation where there's Chil Hashem, we don't give any covet. Chil Hashem overrides everything. We cannot tolerate, we cannot, postpone. An immediate response has to take place. When the guy takes off his clothing, he's left naked in the middle of the public area. That's the greatest bizoyon. That's antithetical to kavod abrios. The halacha puts so much emphasis on kavod abrios, but the answer is b'makom chil Hashem Ein chachma vein tvuna vein etza. If you take a look at the Rambam, as far as Shatnes is concerned, in Hilchos Kelayim, Perik Yud, Halacha Chaf Tes, the Rambam writes, Haroa Kelayim shel Torah al Chavero. This is a different case. Not where a person himself becomes aware of the fact that his begadim are Kelayim, but he becomes aware of the fact that his friend is wearing Kelayim. Afilu hayim ahalich b'shuk kofetz lo v'koro olav miyat. Vafilu hayir rabo shalimdo chachma shein kovet abrios doche isur losa sevafurish b'torah. Even though kovet abrios is very powerful, but it doesn't allow, it doesn't alleviate a violation of an isur losa sevafurish b'torah. The Rambam goes on to say, "Avol davar sheisuro mi devrayam areyu nidcha b'nei kovet abrios b'chol makom." Kovet abrios is powerful enough to trump an Isur Midrabanan. But when we're dealing with an Isur Dorais that's Mefurish B'Torah, then Kavod Abrius is not enough. Doesn't have the power. It cannot be Doch an Isur that's an Isur Losa that's Mefurish B'Torah. And therefore, it's got to be removed. The Rambam says, Lefichach, Im Haya Olav Shatnei Shel Devrayim, is something, an entity called Shatnez Durabonon, Eno Koro Olav Bishuk, the Eno Poshet Bishuk Achmagila Besa. But in Hoyashel Torah, Poshto Miyat. So the Rambam, at the beginning of Halach of Tes, codifies the Halach that we saw in the Gemara on Daf Yud Tes on the days, Ein Chachmein Tvunu Eitzel Neged Hashem. And if we're talking about Kelayim Shel Torah, is Koro Olav Miyat. And even if this person who's wearing shatnez is his own Rebbe who taught him Chachma, it doesn't matter. Ein Chachma Neged Hashem. Now, again, we have to ask the question, why is this Chil Hashem if nobody knows about it? I mean, you know about it. You know that his garment is shatnez, but does everybody else know about it? Is there public knowledge here that engenders Chil Hashem? That's not clear. And Berlin Eder will have to come back to this question a little bit later after we see the poskim, the Shulchan Aruch, the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya, in Hilchis Kelayim, that they codify this halacha of ripping off Kelayim in the middle of Rosh Hashanah. Let's go back to the Gemara for a moment on Yud Tes Amud Beis. And the Gemara tells us the following, Meisvei. Kavru es hames v'chazru v'lifneihem shtei drachim achas tahora v'achas tmeya ba b'tahora ba'in imo b'tahora ba b'tuma ba'in imo b'tuma mishum kvodo. So this braisa is talking about kavod abrius in the case of an avel, one of the relatives of the deceased after the kfura chose to go down a road. There were two possible roads that he could walk on. And we want to accompany him as part of the kium of Kvodo. He's an Avel, and one was Tahora, one was Tmeya. Obviously, if he goes down to the Tahora, we're going to accompany him. But the Chiddush of this Braisa is that if he walks down the Tmeya, then for the sake of his Kavod, we're going to walk with him. And Pashtus, what this means is that even a Kohen would walk down this part of Tmeya for the sake of Kavod Abrios. So the Gemara asks, Vamai Lema, why don't we apply the rule of Ein Chachma Ein Tumah L'Neged Hashem? We're talking about a Tumah, which is a violation of a Torah law, and it's public in nature. Kavod Abrius is wonderful, but it cannot override a mitzvah, or in this case, a lav d'oraisa. Tirgumah Rabbi Abba b'beis ha'pras d'rabbanan. We're talking about a case where the tumah is only d'rabbanan. Rashi explains the beis ha'pras means a sadash and echresh bo kever. There was a kever, and somebody unbeknown, it was unbeknown to him that there was a kever there, and he did Harisha, and now we don't know in any particular part of this large field whether or not there's part of the kever there. Chashu chachom shevet dildalu kli amachresha es atzomos v'doreis aleihem. And there might be an etzem kisaora, which is the minimum shear for tumas mess. But Rashi says, came under mirabbanan who, in other words, on a total level, there's no iser beis apras because the soda has a cheskas tahara, and you want to prove, you want to suspect that maybe over here at this particular point, there's an etzem kisaora. What you have to do now is the burden on proof is for you to undermine and negate the Cheskas Tahara and assume there's Tumah here, but the Rabbanu were Choshesh, they made a Takana Beis HaPras, is therefore, in such a case, Achlu Alikariyeh Gabi Ovel. The Rabbanu are willing to overlook that Iser of Tumah the Rabbanu for the sake of the Ovel. And this, my friends, is the source for the Rambam and Hilchas Kalayim that we saw before, in a case where he's wearing Shatnez Derabbanan, Shatnei Shal Devrayim, is Eino Korah B'Shuk. We did not apply, we suspend the principle of Ein Chachma Ein Tfuna, because the Iser is only an Iser Derabbanan. Let's first, before we analyze this, learn the Torah and the Beis Yosef in Yoredeya Siman Shin Gimel, Hilchas Klai Akerem, Klai Begodim in this case. Hamotzi kalayim bebigdo imei midoraisa poshto afilu b'shuk imei kalayim derabbanan v'hu b'shuk ein tzarch lefoshto v'cheinim hu bebeis hamedrash ein tzarch lemayer b'shvilo latzeis misham. If he's wearing kalayim derabbanan, he finds out about it, he's learning the base medrash, he doesn't have to immediately remove them. And the Rambam writes that ha-roeh kalayim shel Torah shall chaver afilu hu b'shuk koro me olav afilu rabo shalim do Torah. The Torah quotes the Rambam, and then he says, Adoni ovi arash sal kosav af al pi shal motzi kalayim do reis aposto afilu b'shuk dafke shal lovesh motzo biatzmo shehu mezid avla roa kalayim shal chaver va lov sho eino yodea ein tzarch lomar lo. If it's in the shuk and there's an issue of kavod abrios, even though there's a doraisa, al yafrishenu mishogeg. For the sake of kavod abrios, we will suspend the normal rule of afrushe misura, which again, had he not been a shogeg, for example, if he himself is amazed and now he's doing tshuva, then he would have to immediately take off these begadim, even in the shuk, even at the expense of kavod abrios. But that's because he's amazing, says the Rosh. But in the case of a shogeg, you see by Yenim that he's wearing shatnez. But clearly he's not aware of that. So his avera is an avera b'shogeg. There's no din of lafrushe misura. The Rambam, on the other hand, tells us that even chavero is wearing shatnez. Take it off, rip it off him. He's doing an avera, although he's doing it b'shogeg unintentionally. The halach of ein chachm vein tfuna k'neged Hashem kicks in. And you almost get the impression that the Rambam is the focus or the emphasis in this halacha, the Rambam, and that's what he derived from the Sugyan Brachos, is to prevent Chil Hashem. Ein Chachma Vein Tfuna L'Neged Hashem. Forget about the person who's wearing the Shatnez and what level of culpability he has, whether he's a Mezid or a Shogeg, that's irrelevant. All that's relevant to us, and what determines the halacha, is the immediate urgency of terminating a situation of Chil Hashem. Every moment that continues is more and more Chil Hashem. So the Rambam looks at the Heftz of the Chil Hashem. The Rosh, I think, on the other hand, is emphasizing the Avera and the Chiyuv HaGavra. The Rosh is therefore distinguishing between two kinds of Averas. There's an Avera B'mezid, which is more chomer, obviously, and there's the aver b'shogeg. And when it comes to kavod abrios, this distinction between an aver chamur and aver kal is very relevant. In fact, we're going to talk about a case of kelayim derabbanan, and we saw we were more makel for the sake of kavod abrios. And if it's an aver b'shogeg, the aver b'shogeg is on a lower level, the violation is not that severe. It's sort of like a derabbanan, and we don't apply the principle of ein tvuna neged Hashem, but rather for the sake of kodesh brius, we'll look the other way, and we won't rip it off his clothes, rip it off in the public. So again, whereas the Rambam is interested in chil Hashem and stopping, preventing chil Hashem, the Rush is interested in the chumras averus hagav. And one could add another point over here in this discussion as we go through this be'im, and that is that the Rambam and the right and the Rush might be arguing about the nature of a shogeg. You know, in a case of a derabbanan, that's clearly an avera kala relative to the avera chamur doraisa of a doraisa. In the case of a katan, likewise. You know, it's not the same chumras averim. We could be more, you know, allow for more flexibility rather than ripping his shatnez off. But in the case of an avera on the part of a gadol, and he was unaware, and it's a doraisa, and he was unaware of the avera, that's called an avera b'shogeg, it still remains an avera. And therefore the Rambam would hold that as long as it's a doraisa, even if you call it a shogeg, it's got the level of chumas avera which allows or forces us to apply and activate the principle of Ein Chochma Ein Tvuna Keneged Hashem. The Rush, on the other hand, sees Avera B'Shogeg on a different level. It removes the Chumras Avera, and therefore there's no din of Ein Chochma Ein Tvuna, but rather Kavod Abrios prevails. If you take a look at the Beis Yosef on the tour, right here, first he quotes the Sugi Brachos Yutesamid Beis of Rav, then Motzi Kalayim Bebigdo Postafil Bishuk, which is of course because of Chil Hashem, that's what the Gemara establishes. And he says, Umashma Hosav Dahainu Dafke Bekalayim Do Raisa, V'chein Kosav Arash, that's only in Kalayim Do Raisa, V'chein Heim Divrei Rama. So one thing is universally accepted. It's not a subject of debate or controversy between the Rambam and the Rive, and the Rambam and the Rosh, and that is that on an Avera Derabbanan, we don't apply the principle Ein Chacham Ein Eitzam Ein Tfuna Leged Hashem. On the contrary, we apply the principle of Kavod Abrios. But I want to point out to you the next paragraph in the Beis Yosef. He writes the following: Kosav Od Shom HaRosh. The Rush adds something. He says, "Hare shaholach b'shuk v'nimtzol lovish kelayim." And the situation is train amuroim chad omer osar v'chad omer mutar. Mandi osar dvar Torah, mandi matir kirabi zera. The omer gadol kadva abriel shedoche es hamitzvah belosa se shah achas. So the Yerushalmi in Kelayim, quoted by the Rush, records a machlokes, chad amar mutar, chad amar asur, with regard to someone who's walking the shuk, and it turns out he's wearing Kelayim. And the Yerushalmi is quick to point out that the one who maintains asur, it's because of our Torah, because this violation of wearing shatnez is a doraisa, and the one who's matir, that's Rab Zera, who holds that Kavod HaBrios is so great that it's doche even a losasa. Tani, the Brisa continues in the Yerushalmi, midagdekin, ein midagdekin lo b'mes, lo b'kalayim, b'beis ha-medrash. And now the Yerushalmi is touching on the two cases that we mentioned before, the Kavod HaBrios vis-a-vis an Ovel after he buried his dead, the Kavod HaBrios of a person wearing Kelayim, and in both cases, we're talking in the Beis Medrash. And in the Beis, not in both cases, but in the case of Kelayim, we're talking about someone who's wearing Kelayim in the Beis HaMedrash. And that is a real serious Kavod HaBrios problem. The Yerushalmi continues, Rav Ami Avi Yosef Umasni Omar Chad Lechavrei At Levush Kelayim Omar Le Rav Ami Shlof Minach Vahavle Vesova Rav Ami Kamoroi Tishari. Inami b'kelayim d'rabbanon. So first, the Gemara offers two possible explanations as to why, according to Rav Ashi, we do not strip him of his kelayim. One is because he holds that it's not kelayim at all, or the other option is that it's only kelayim d'rabbanon. Inami, the Gemara offers a third option, kelayim d'oraisa, is vadi amotzi kelayim bigdo ein chafrik v'eged Hashem. But im adam ro kelayim v'bigdei chavero v'alovesh kelayim ein yodea, is ein lomer lo b'shuk ad she'agil beis ha'mishum d'kovet ha'bris yishtog v'lo yafrishenu. And this shita in the Yerushalmi, to differentiate between the person himself who becomes aware of the fact that he's got to take off his kelayim, as opposed to taking off someone else's kelayim, that other person is not aware of it, that would seem to be the source of the shita sarash that we mentioned before, quoted by the Tur, that in a case of shogeg, where yedem is violating an isa d'oraisa of shogeg, I don't have to rip off his kelayim if he's not aware of it, because he's a pure shogeg. And although the Yerushalmi doesn't spell out the word shogeg, that seems to be clearly the intention of the Yerushalmi. And therefore, the Rush says that even though you're discovering that the garments that Ploni is wearing in the shuk is d'oraisa, nevertheless, you can't take off his garments because he's only a shogeg. Rabbeinu Hetik Hatiruta Achron. Meaning, of all the different explanations why it's mutter, and we suspend the principle of Ein Chachmein Tfuna, the Rush accepts the third of the series, that since it's someone else who's unaware of the fact that he's wearing Kalayim, he's in a state of Shogeg, therefore. So the Beis Yosef points out that the Rush accepts the third answer of the Gemara, the third explanation of the Yerushalmi as to why there was a kula, why Rav Ami was mekil in this case. He says because it was someone else who was wearing it, and that person was unaware, and therefore he remains every minute in a state of a shogeg. What about the person who discovers that he himself is wearing the beged? That's already amazed, and therefore he has to strip himself. But again, it doesn't mean that he put it on b'mazed, because the Gemara says, mozo, he finds that he's wearing kelayim. So it must be that initially he was a shogeg, but he becomes amazed every minute that he continues to wear the kelayim. Every hashaya is called mazed. Now that's in Simon Shin Gimel in the Tur. Let's look at Simon Shin Gimel in the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch. Again, Aroa Kelayim Shel Torah Shel Chaver Afilu Haya Mahalich B'Shuk Kofetz Lo V'Korah Me'olav Miyad Afilu Haya Rabo. So it's interesting that the Shulchan Aruch is at this point oblivious to the Rosh, and he's passing straight away like the Rambam, and that even if it's Chavero, which would probably Mistimas Haloshim be that his friend is a shogeg, nevertheless he has to strip him, his friend, of this garment, and even if his friend is not his friend but his Rebbe. So the Mechaber is now reflecting and codifying the Rambam sheet against the Rosh. However, the Ramah says V'yeshorim de'im haya alove shogeg ain't sarch lomer lo b'shuk. He doesn't have to notify his friend, hey, you know what you're wearing is shatnez, when his friend is in the shuk and he's not aware of it. Mishum the kovet abrios, as a result of the kovet abrios, yishtok v'lo yafrishenu mishogeg. His action, his violation of shatnez is a shogeg, because he's totally unaware of the situation that he's wearing kelayim. Let's read the Ramah. The Yesh Omrim de'im ha'lovesh shogeg ain't tzarich lomer lo bashuk mishum kovet abrios yishtok ve'al yafrishenu mishogeg. You know, no news is good news. Instead of telling him and notifying him that he's wearing kelayim and that puts him into a situation where he'll have to strip naked in this shuk, instead just deny him that information. There's nothing urgent pressing. He's violating a bashogeg, and the Ramah is codifying the Rush. So we started with the machlokes between the Rambam and the Rosh, which now becomes a machlokes between the Mechaber and the Ramah. Again, the Ramah quotes the name of Yesh Omrim, but you get the impression he's posketing like that, Mandi Omer. Then the Shulchan Aruch says, and about this there doesn't seem to be any question, any debate, Im Hayashel Divrayim, if the violation of Kalayim is only Derabbanan, there are many situations where one violates Shatnes Derabbanan, Eino Koro Me'olav, Eino Posto Beshuk, you don't have to rip it off your friend or strip yourself in the middle of the public thoroughfare, Ad Shemagil Abeso, the minute he gets home, he has to remove the Kalayim Derabbanan. The Imhaya Shel Torah Posto Miyat. Now the Ramah adds a comment that we've already seen in the past in the Tur V'chein V'beis Medrash. That also is considered B'shuk. But the additional halacha here is that in the V'beis Medrash Ein Tzarch L'mayer Lotzeis, if he's only wearing Kelayim D'Rabbanan, he can take his time. But Imhaya Shel Torah is Posto Miyat. It's urgent that he remove the Kelayim. If you take a look in the Shach points out, Im Hoya Halove Shoge, Hainu Di Eni Yodea Klal Shehu Kalayim. We're in the situation where the Lovesh is not at all aware of the fact that he's wearing Kalayim. Aval Im Achar Shemotzo. If after he realizes that he's wearing Kalayim, Yishenu Olav, he lets time go by, postpones taking it off, Nimsa Shu Mashal Subimazid, then everybody agrees that there's no distinction here and you have to strip him of his garment. We're only being makil according to that shita of the Rush, and which is reflected in the Yesh Omrim and the Ramah, because he is a shogek. Once you know that he's a mazid, then it's a violation. And the little aleph here at the beginning of the Mechaber, Arot Kalayim Shel Torah, etc., if you look in the Be'er HaGola, the aleph is referring to the Rambam, as we saw before, Perek Yud, Mehilchas Kalayim. And it's all based on the statement of Rav. There's a tshuva here in the Trumas Hadeshen. And then we'll take a look at the Mechaber in Yoredeya. The Truva Deshin says the following, She'ela, he had a question, Kohen shochav al mitaso, uposhet kol begodav, kidercha olam, upisom karu lo v'yomru, echad meis bi'ohel. The Kohen is not dressed properly, and he's going to sleep for the night, and all of a sudden they notify him that there's too much mess in the ohel. So the question here is, every moment that he remains in an oel, he's violating an Isur Torah, a Kohen who's metami himself. Does he have to run out in a naked state immediately without blinking? Oh, or should we say, Shari Mishud Kovada Brios Lishos Bioel Adisha Yilbosh Mikzas Pgodam? Give him a minute of time. How long does it take him to cover himself up with a bathrobe before he runs out naked? Tshuva. Yire mishum kovet abrius lo nase shum isu doraisa. He says the following. It would seem that because of kovet abrius, which is the main consideration here, lo nase shum isu doraisa. What does that mean? So he clarifies this in the next couple of lines. He quotes the Gemara in Brachos daf yutesim beis that shihui betumas ol ames lekoin isidoraisa, that by remaining in an ol ames he's violating an isidoraisa, and therefore one would assume that despite the kovet abrius element here, we're not going to allow him to violate an isidoraisa. Omnom osam shekorim lakom lakutzeis yizaru betchila shlo yagid lo miyat. He doesn't seem in his answer to be excited about the fact that they notified him immediately. Give him some time. Maybe they could tell him, get up, give him a story, why he has to wake up, or he has to get out of bed and get dressed. Lo yagidu lo miyad sheyesh mes v'yoel, yikru lo stam, loku v'lotes aleim. You know, let them notify him that we have something important to share with you in the kitchen, to tell you, get out of bed from your bedroom, and he'll know to get dressed. Ubederech says, shari mishum kovet abrios, afagav sheminichem oso shor betuma, hoil v'lo yodav shogugu shari. So the Trumas Hadeshen, like the Ramah, like the Rush, is Mekil in Kovet Abrios in the case of Shogeg. He's not aware of it. And he quotes Nagos Ashri in Hilchas Kalayim, that even though he finds Kalayim Doraisa, Vush Chavero, he doesn't have to be posted, he doesn't have to notify him because he's a Shogeg. In the footnotes here, in the Trumas Hadeshen, he quotes the Ramah. So basically, to summarize what's going on over here, the Shoel was vacillating back and forth, thinking that because of the Issa Doraisa with every second of Shehiyah and the Tumas HaOel, he's got to override Kovet Abrios and run out immediately. He doesn't have a minute of time to dress himself up. But the Trumas HaDeshen, in his answer, he says that although Kovet Abrios doesn't override a Doraisa, but nevertheless, in this case, although by remaining in the OLMS, he's violating a Doraisa, but nevertheless, we don't have to notify him because he's in a state of a Shogeg. And even though he's violating the Issur B'Shogeg, but nevertheless, Kovet Abrios is powerful enough to override, to trump a violation of an Issur B'Shogeg, even though that Issur is Doraisa. And what we should rather do is get him out of bed, get him dressed, and then notify him once he's dressed. But in his naked state, we don't notify him, even though every minute he's remaining in the OLMS, he's violating a Doraisa, but he's doing so b'shogeg. And this halacha, this psak in the tshuva of the Trumas HaDeshen, is codified by the Ramah in Hilchas Havelus, when he deals with the case of Tumas Mes for a Kohen, in Yoredeya Siman Shin Ayin Beis, Kohen sheshokhev arum v'hu bi'oel ha'imames v'lo yoda ein lahagid lo el yikru lo stam sheyetzik dey sheyoldash asmo t'chila aval im kvar yigidu lo, if they already notified him, they shouldn't have notified him, is osa lahamtid, he's not allowed to wait at sheyaldash atzmo, he's got to immediately get out of there because he's no longer in a state of a shogeg, he's violating an isu doraisa v'meizim v'dafka imu bi'ol ha'mes shutum doraisa. Aval imu beis hapras o eretz ha'amin sheituma derabanan is yalbish atzmo tchila de gadol kovet abrios. Kovet abrios is great enough to be doche an isu derabanan. Kohen shehu yoshein umes imo biol tzrichen lahakitzo ulahagidlo kidei sheyetze. If the kohen is sleeping and there's a dead body in that OL, they have to wake him up to tell him that he has to get out of there. That's in a case where he's dressed. Says the Shach, Tzrichim lahakitzo lagidlo afilu belo shehiyah ka'avar kohen. He says, even though the kohen is asleep, and he's not aware of the fact that there's a mess in that OL, Mikomakom Isura Ovid Bishogeg. Oh. But here the Shach asks the following question. And this is a question that should have been bothering us straight down the line. The Af al Gavdieno Osa Maisa Isur, even though his violation is in a state of Shevi Altase. What's all the buzz over here about getting him out of here, waking him up and getting him out of here because the tomb is messed in the old, but he's only violating this Isur B'shevi altas. He says, Ika, the Maisa Iser Ika, Lachrini the Yade Mitzvah Lafrisha. It sounds like, according to what the Shach is explaining here, it doesn't matter whether it's a Maisa Iser or it's an Avera Doraisa without a Maisa Iser. In any case, we know about it, and we have a mitzvah lafrisho. And this point we'll come back to a little bit later, but first, I want to show you the case of a shtar sheyesh bo ribis. The Tosefta in Bav Metzia in the fifth perek says a malves chaver beribis who bolifnei bezdin konsen also vieno gove loes hakeren veloes haribis. The halacha here of Rabbi Meir is a halacha of knas. A person lent money beribis, and we're going to say that he cannot collect even the keren. In other words, the lover owes him the keren, the principal, he owes him the ribis, the usury, the extra interest. But in this case, Rabbi Meir says, we're going to penalize the malver, the ribis, and say he can't even collect the keren. Ein go velo es hakeren, velo es haribis. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim omrim, but the Chachamim disagree. Is Govas Akaren Vienna Govas Aribis. Fine. But the next part is the part that I want to emphasize. Hamotzi Shtar Ribis, a person finds a shtar, and it's clear from the Nusach Hashtar that there's ribis here involved in this halva yikra'ena. He rips it up. And if you take a look in the Minchas Yitzchak, which is the commentary on this Tosefta, he writes, Yikre'ena v'lo yamtino ad sheyigva bo keren akeren l'rabbana. Very interesting. You might say, well, according to Chachamim, this shtar in the hands of the malveh is a very important tool, a very important shtar, because he's going to at least get back his keren. He can't collect the usury, the interest, but he can collect the keren. And the Tosefta says, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Akol Kemineg HaMedina. What does that mean? Heichad D'Nehiga K'Rabbi Meir D'Eino Gova Klal Yikrena. You want to know whether you're allowed to rip up the shtar? It all depends on the minhag. If the minhag amok was to pass like Rabbi Meir, which means that the malva cannot collect even the keren, rip it up. Amol B'Asrei D'Nehiga K'Rabbanon Lo Yikrena. You have to bring him to Bezdin. Bezdin is going to facilitate his collection of the chov, at least as far as the keren is concerned. And then Bezdin will rip up the shtar. But you have no right to rip up the shtar, because this shtar is worth keren. The malva has a right to collect the principal, because the minhag medina in that particular area is like the chachamim, that goves hakeren veina goves haribis. The Ramah in Yoredei Kuf Samach Aleph Hilchus Ribis codifies this halacha, and he writes, the Mechaber says, Shtar Sheish Bo Ribis Bein Shel Torah Bein Shel Divreim Govis HaKeren Levado. The Mechaber codifies the halacha like the Chachamim, that at least the Malva has rights with the Shtar to collect the Keren. For Hu Sheyehei Nikar Shu Ribis. And on that, the Ramah writes a comment, V'chol mi shebo liyodo yikra shtar. That anyone who becomes aware of this shtar and has access to the shtar should rip up the shtar. Dechayshina, because we're afraid, shema yigbe bo haribis. If we let the shtar float around, then what's going to happen ultimately is that the malva is going to collect not only the keren, he'll use it to collect the ribis. We can't let the shtar, shall we say, float around in the possession of the malva. If it's out there and if it's not ripped to shreds, it's going to eventually lead to a collection of ribis and a violation of a doraisa. And this halacha, which the Ramah codifies, is brought down here in the name of the Agos Maimonios and the Agos Oshri. And if you look in the Taz, he comments, Fatam Bagos Ashri Lefishu Over Bikiyumo. In other words, the violation here is a constant violation. Every moment that he holds on to the shtar, he's violating an Isur. And therefore, you have to stop this situation, terminate the violation of the Isur, and rip up the shtar. This seems to be the first case that almost directly addresses our question that we began this year with, and that is, are you allowed to take the law into your hands in order to prevent a person from an Isur and damage his property? Because as a result of this Kriyas Ashtar, the Malveh left without a shtar is going to be very hard pressed to collect even the Karen. And since the Mechaber here passes like the Chachomim, that although the shtar has ribbis in it, you're allowed to collect based on the shtar the Karen. Now by ripping up the shtar, you are causing a hefsek to the Malveh, but the answer is the Malveh is violating an Isur of holding on to the shtar every single second it goes by. And therefore you're allowed to take the law into your hands and rip up the shtar. We're going to see in Mirz Hashem and later poskim that this Ramah, based on Agos, Maimonios, etc., is a breakthrough. It's a real trailblazer, and we're going to base a lot on that. What we haven't gotten a chance to see yet is the Sugya in Bava Kama and Perek HaMeniach. And B'ezer Hashem, we want to check the Rush in the third Perek of Bava Kama. He has a very important insight that's Nogel Aloch Lamaisen is quoted in later Tshuvas, which the Rush, in a sense, expands and extends the Aloch of Rodev. You know, normally, again, the Aloch of Rodev means you save Shimon by killing Reuven, who's threatening to kill Shimon, but the Rush is going to make a major breakthrough here in extending that Aloch of Rodev. In this case, Reuven is trying to hit Shimon. He's not, you know, he's not endangering the life of Shimon. He's not interested in murdering Shimon. And are you allowed to beat up Reuven in order to protect and prevent Reuven from doing this thing? And that's called Lafrushim Isura in the language of the Rush. Because to allow Reuven to hit Shimon is to allow Reuven to violate an Avera. And you're obligated as a bystander to stop Reuven and prevent him from violating this Avera. And you're even allowed to hit him for that. And once again, we're seeing to what extent a person can take the law into his own hands in order to be mafresh someone mi'isur. And that Vili Neder is something that we want to really analyze in order to come to some conclusion about the original case of the Mashgiach who destroyed the Talmud's cell phone with internet connection, Emir Tzashem, Behemshech, as we get back to the Sugya in the next Shia.